There's the bell. Time now to check in with our NBA and boxing insider from Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix.
And it's time to go to the NBA. Chris Mannix joins us this morning. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Chris, I had a long flight and a long, ugly Monday night football game last night, but I'm back and I'm feeling. You didn't watch. Did you have a sleeping disorder? Because that would have put you to sleep last night.
No, when I saw that game on the schedule, I immediately put it on State of Affairs. I'd rather watch Katherine Heigl than watch Jets Dolphins. Thanks.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair right now. Hey, first of all, let's start with Oklahoma City. Getting their horses back. Russell Westbrook's back. Kevin Durant's about ready to come back. Oklahoma City 5-12. There's still a lot of games left, but it's a pretty good hole to dig out of. What do you expect?
Yeah, really surprised that they're getting both these guys back in such an expeditious manner. I mean, I figured Westbrook could be on a little bit of an accelerated timetable. We saw with Rajon Rondo in Boston that these hand injuries, especially when you're dealing with a young athlete, you know, they can get past it pretty quickly. And depending on their threshold of pain, they can play through a lot. So you knew Westbrook might be a little faster than whatever it was, the 4 to 6 week timetable he initially was laid out there for. Durant, if he's back this week, and I'll still, I guess, believe it when I see it, but, you know, those foot injuries, I thought they might take a more cautious approach. I was thinking more around Christmas, not the first week in December, that Durant would come back. But if he's back this week, you know, they've got to be ecstatic. I mean, they're only, 5-12 right now. I thought that they'd have some problems if they were something around 6-20, 6-25 when they got to when they got those guys back. But 5-12 is a hole they can absolutely dig themselves out of. Now, in my opinion, it's not a question of will they make the playoffs. It's what kind of seeding they'll get when they get there.
Hey, Chris, bringing it back here to South Florida and the Miami Heat, who are back to 9-8 again. I'm just curious, as you look at this team and they get beat up pretty good by the Wizards last night, do you look at more, if as I tell you, they need to upgrade rebounding more or find another three-point shooter? What would you say it is right now?
You know, I think rebounding at the moment is a more pressing concern. I saw them play at Sunday in New York, and, you know, there are a few problems they had there. I mean, a close game with this Knicks team that is just terrible is not something that I think was all that impressive. They do have some serious problems on the boards. Obviously, they've got some problems with perimeter shooting, but I think when you're looking at the Eastern Conference, there are a lot of physical teams at the top of it. You know, you mentioned Washington and what they have, obviously, with their muscle, but Chicago, even Cleveland to some degree, when with how they rebound with Kevin Love and Anderson Varejao. I think another big body or somebody on the boards that can help out Chris Bosh is a more pressing need for the Heat right now.
Well, the Raptors take a big hit. DeRozan, I'll tell you, when he went down, you thought it might be a lot longer. Were you surprised it was only out 4 to 6 weeks? Did you expect it to be longer than that with the groin?
Yeah, I did. You know, I've never heard of what do they call it, a adductor tear. I don't know what. I've never heard of that before in my life. I had to Google that to find out what it was. but, you know, I thought it was going to be something season-ending. I really did. When you see him in that kind of pain and you assume a tear is there, I thought it was going to be much worse. They've got to be pretty happy. You know, I know they're it's uncharted territory right now for the Raptors without DeRozan. I mean, he's been such a staple of their lineup over the last 3 years, and they've enjoyed such, you know, good health and good continuity over the last couple of years that they're going to have to find a way to adjust and, you know, play some other guys and lean on Terrence Ross, I think, a little bit more. But as long as they can stay afloat, you know, 4 weeks, that's enough time to get themselves back in position to keep fighting for that number one seed.
Everybody's all over the board that does what you do for a living, covering the NBA with this 76ers team, now one loss away from tying the record. What's your take on, I know they're trying, it's not like they're tanking with what they have, but what's been your take on this Sixers team?
Well, it's an embarrassment, and I say that word because it's a word I've heard a lot from other executives around the league. I mean, I was in New York most of the last week, and a lot of college basketball tournaments were out here in the city, and yet a lot of executives from across the league were out here, so I talked to a bunch of them, and you know, in casual conversation, Philadelphia comes up, and that word embarrassing comes up. They think that, you know, what they're doing is just truly humiliating for the league. You know, just basically showing complete indifference to their one loss record for the second consecutive year. You know, the players, you're right, the players are trying, but the front office, you know, just doesn't seem to give a damn. You know, you got KJ McDaniels, a second round pick, scoring for them. Carter Williams having an okay type of year, but this is just a bad situation, a bad look for the league. So much so that you saw them try to change the lottery system before the start of the season. I would not be surprised, Joe, if before the end of the year they try to circle back and ram home some kind of lottery proposal that it takes place at the end of this year. They just don't want to reward Philadelphia for having another season where they just basically tried to lose from a front office perspective.
How are they drawn right now? They can't be drawn well. Nobody can enjoy that product.
No, they don't draw, but, you know, to be frank with you, I don't think Philadelphia, you know, Philadelphia doesn't draw unless they're winning, you know, and that's, you know, it's a great atmosphere when Allen Iverson in his heyday, but you know, even when they were a playoff team, what was it, a couple of years ago with Evan Turner in the mix, they weren't drawn particularly well either. Now, I had a buddy, I saw him on social media last night, say he got good lower bowl tickets for $20 each. So, that's what you're looking at right now in Philadelphia for fan sport.
Hey, Chris, I want to get a take on a nice story, man. I like these instead of always like getting into dirt. How about DeMarcus Cousins? How about that story? Is the guy growing up, or are they just pampering him more? What has it been?
Well, I think he's grown up a little bit. He still is prone to DeMarcus Cousins-like pouting fests at times. But, you know, Joe, his talent was never, ever in question. I mean, from a talent perspective, you know, alongside maybe a Brooke Lopez, this guy is probably the most talented offensive center in the league. He can do everything. He can pass, play off a dribble, shoot from with his back to the basket. There's not much he can't do. It's just maturity issues have just dogged him for his entire career. Now, like I said, you're still seeing them crop up occasionally, but they do come less and less. Now, I don't know if you attribute that to just natural maturity. Maybe you give it him, something to the USA basketball experience that he had last summer. We often see guys come back from that as better players. Give Mike Malone, the coach out there, I think, a lot of credit. But for whatever reason, he's a more mature player, and you're seeing his basketball skills showcase more on the court than his off the, immature behavior showing up.
All right, and I got to ask you about the Cleveland Cavaliers. They've won three straight. They're over 500. Do you see them getting things worked out finally and starting to get what LeBron wants and what it's going to take for them to take off and become one or two in the East?
They've beaten some bad teams in the last couple of games, so I'm not sure what to make of it just yet. I've got to talk to Kevin Love later today, and I'll see them play in New York on Thursday. But I still think the same problems exist out there. Defensively, there's not a lot they're doing right. I mean, you know, when you win a few games, it's easy to read the sound bites and see Kyrie Irving say, "Wow, we're going to make an individual effort to be better defensively." And you know, David Blatt's gone out of his way to say Kevin Love's playing the best defense of his career. I'm just not necessarily sure I buy that. I think it's a product of the schedule, who they've played in the last couple of games more than anything else. I mean, you're not going to see what Cleveland really is until they go back into the teeth of, say, the Eastern Conference schedule or play some of the Western Conference big dogs in the postseason. When they do that, and if they start winning some games then, all right, then I'll be a believer. But right now, they still play, in my opinion, some selfish basketball. They still play poor team defense. And you know, these are not things I think that have noticeably improved over the last couple of weeks, despite the one-loss record.
Hey, Chris, you talked to a lot of people around the NBA. Before I let you run, what's been the take on what's going on here right now with Dwayne Wade? Is comes back for a couple of games, has a nice game against New York, then had 20 even last night. What is the word on what people think he's got left in the tank as a player?
Well, they think offensively he still has enough left to be a factor. You saw that in the next game. I mean, he just took over down the stretch in the fourth quarter, really playing a man's game versus – you know, a guy like Tim Hardaway, who's playing a child's game at the moment. He was great in that stretch. But defensively, he's not been very good, frankly. And then that's a problem, I think, for Miami, because they've always prided themselves on great team defense. They've been a very good defensive team to a high-level defensive team in the last 4 years with LeBron there. I think there's no doubt that Dwayne could still be a relatively consistent scorer at this level, but the question is, can he be a good two-way player, which is going to be a big key for this team making any kind of deep playoff run. That the jury is very much still out on Dwayne there. Obviously, people around the league want to see him stay on the floor, you know, for, you know, 25, 30, not games in a row, but 25 of 27 or something like
right.
that to prove that he's fully healthy. But they do want to see him play a higher level of defense to show he's still a good two-way guard.
Chris, always good talking to you, man. Thank you for a little NBA. Nice to have you. Thank you.
I'm a little awake right now, Joe. Maybe I'll put the Jets-Dolphins game on the DVR if I can get back to sleep.
Don't do that to yourself, Chris. You're better than that. You take care.
All right, Joe.